And we are now joined. We're going to take a little extra time for this segment because we've got quite a bit to talk about, more than folks you would even know, or at least more than you know right now. You'll know more later. We are joined by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm a little perkier than I usually am when I come in.
And you're dry. That's a good thing because it's been so rainy.
Missed that downpour a little while ago. So, yeah.
So we have learned something very interesting about you. You were born on Friday the 13th, or a Friday the 13th,
yes.
I should say.
Yep.
That is wild. So are you a superstitious person?
Kind of. Similar to Rich, it's like selective.
Sure.
You don't like Matchbox 20 either?
I'm not the biggest fan of Matchbox 20, for being honest. But I always kind of love when it's a Friday the 13th. So my birthday's in February. Mm-hmm. But whenever there's a Friday the 13th, I'm always sort of like, ooh, that's my jam.
Yeah.
That's my day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a good day to have a good day.
Yeah.
So why not?
Right.
And I also agree with you wholeheartedly, Ryan.
It's mindset.
Like, yeah, it's what you make of it. And so I go into like, ooh, I'm excited. It's Friday the 13th. And I feel like I'm actually overall incredibly lucky. Mm. I mean, I think every person born in this country with the rights and freedoms that we have, that's no a fault of my own or no credit of my own. That's just like incredible good fortune. And as well as just how my life has unfolded, I feel really, really lucky. And whether or not that has to do with being born on Friday the 13th, I'm not sure that I was a C-section. My mother had been in labor, I think, for like 24 hours or something.
Wow.
And it was a Friday afternoon, and the doctor was ready to go be done for the weekend. So I, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon, I was born. So, you know, I don't know what the universe had in store for that. I'm grateful to my mother for bringing me into the world. But yeah, I have a little, I like when it's Friday the 13th.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're the luckiest person born on a rather unlucky day, but you turn it around. I like that.
That's how I like to think of it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I'm really good at finding four-leaf clovers.
Are you really?
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
a skill.
One of my, it's actually just, if you take the time to look, you will find them.
Really?
But
I used to find three-leaf clovers and then like tear one leaf in half and say, oh, they got four-leaf clovers.
Yeah.
I love that every person has invented that on their own. It was fun to watch my kids invent that. I was just like, oh yeah, totally did that.
Oh my gosh, this is the first time this has ever happened.
Yes. love it.
It's gotta be one of the joys of kids too, I feel like. It's like they're all, everything's new to them, and you're like,
isn't it great to, I mean, it's so much fun to watch kids do things that they think they just that we did, that our parents did. I love that.
It
So, turning the gears here, the Capitol, what's happening? What do we need to know?
It's hard to believe that I was there on Monday.
Yeah.
And that it's still just Friday because it feels like weeks ago. I mean, we waited basically 3 weeks to be called back for special session.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Monday was the day. So we gaveled in at 10 a.m. And the agreement and the proclamation from the governor was that we had to be done by 7 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Okay.
So I was sort of girding myself for a 19-hour day.
Yeah.
Lots of us were walking into the Capitol with pillows under our arms and, armed with caffeine. And we finished our work right around 11 p.m.
Okay.
So it was only a 13-hour day.
Okay.
I know, when I say these things out loud, I'm like, that's actually wild.
Yeah.
how long was this? I mean, you guys pretty much met your midnight deadline.
We did.
Yeah. The Senate does not have that deadline. Did they shoot past midnight again?
They were close to 2 a.m.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Yep. And they had to do a lot of sitting around waiting for us because we did the hardest, worst bill first and took us 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then they only had, I think, 4 or 5 bills that originated as Senate files. So they passed all of those and then they recessed before we were even done with our first bill.
Mm.
So typically it's the other way around. My understanding is that it's usually the House waiting around for the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not that this year. So they were kind of waiting on us. More of the bills, those final budget bills, originated as House files. So we had to pass them first, then send them to the Senate, which, by the way, physically happens. They mm-hmm. physically get walked, or I guess in years past, up against a deadline, run from chamber to chamber.
Oh.
And then okay. you can only bring up a bill when it is physically in the hands of the staff of those chambers.
So that's not like some kind of solemn ceremony as a bill is passed from one house to the other. It's just get it the heck over there.
I mean, I guess I don't know that much about the logistics of it, okay. but there are some wild stories about when the Capitol was under construction, and so things were happening in actually different buildings.
Oh.
And it was the end of the second year, and so it has to end at midnight. And so literally someone like sprinted from building to building at like 6:50 a.m. to try to get it.
Anyone ever get tackled or anything like when they're trying to avoid a bill getting done?
Well, the story about how when people were trying to change the Capitol from St. Paul to St. Peter and taking those papers and scuffling away with them to St. Paul or to St. Peter. There's wild stories.
That's hilarious.
In the past. So I'm sure there's been some sort of physical altercation. Not anything off the top of my head that I know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. At least,
yeah. Okay. Not since you've been there.
No, not in the 3 years that I've been there. Luckily. No. All right. Yeah, so that's wild. So we basically passed a $66 billion budget to keep the state running for the next 2 years, which we call a biennium. And our fiscal year will start July 1st. So we had, you know, a hard deadline to finish in June so that our different state agencies would not shut down. So we had passed bills in the regular session, but only about 10% of the dollars from those bills. So they were kind of our smaller budget items. So human services, K-12 education are two biggest, like those two together, I think are about like 2/3 of the state budget.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we had not passed those. So we did those on Monday and effectively funded the government for the next 2 years.
So looking at the final results from your perspective, I would love to hear what some of your thoughts are on what came out of all that.
We have a budget. It is a budget. There is actually some pretty funny floor speeches. Like Republicans were like, you're going to vote for this bill. Usually you end with like, please vote for the bill or like, please vote against the bill. But a lot of the end of floor speeches were, you're going to vote for the bill one way or the other. And I have to say, this is a thing I said on the floor, too, which was just like I tell my kids, true compromise means no one's happy. And with a tie in the Minnesota House, and, you know, we have 201 legislators total between the two chambers.
Mm-hmm.
101 are Democrats, 100 are Republicans. It's the closest, you know, state legislature in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true compromise budget. So there's some things I feel good about and I'm excited about. There's a bunch of stuff I really don't like.
Sure.
And my, you know, colleagues on the other side of the aisle would feel the same.
Sure. What would you say is a good, positive accomplishment out of this budget?
We retained the our K-12 or E-12 funding. We kept that linked to inflation.
Oh, good.
So that was a huge, huge accomplishment we did in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Been working on that for 20 years to try to link that formula to inflation.
Could you just elaborate a little bit on that for our listeners who might not be sure of what you're talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what was happening is that every 2 years, the Department of Education and school superintendents, like our own rock star, Dr. Hillman, who y'all were talking about earlier today, they would have to come up to the legislature and basically beg for a little bit of a raise on the formula. How we fund our public schools is so complicated, but there's a sort of basic education formula, and mm-hmm. it's a per pupil dollar amount. And then there's all kinds of other, you know, depending on if you're rural, depending on if you, you know, cover so many miles and need to, you know, have the transportation and special education and English language learners. And there's so many variations on the formula, but mm-hmm. linking that very base per pupil formula to inflation. Now, if we would have done that 20 years ago, literally we'd be our school district would be getting twice as many dollars as they currently get per yeah. student. Mm-hmm. So really that's why we've been seeing cuts regularly kind of since I was in the public schools here. Yeah. But we linked that to inflation 2 years ago and we held on to that. So even though there's a cut target, for example, in the E12 education budget, mm-hmm. the money that's going to schools will, that's in the base formula. So sure. that's not changing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's super important because, yeah, unfortunately, like you said, districts have been having to make up for that
yep.
and there's just not enough money there.
Yep.
So.
And it's really confusing the way we fund our schools, for example, in Northfield, because the voters passed this bonding, you know, for the new high school improvements, which are badly needed. Mm-hmm. And so it's confusing for people. It's, you know, been confusing for me, too, to separate. Oh, that's a different funding stream than
right.
per
yeah.
pupil formula.
It's buckets.
Yes.
You know, it's
school funding in Minnesota is it's so regulated that I feel like you could teach a college course on how Minnesota funds schools.
I think Dr. Sure. Hillman could teach a college course.
In fact, I'm actually kind of sure that he's done a couple of mm-hmm. adjunct mm-hmm. classes over the summer about this exact thing.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And yeah. Rich, you were raising your hand. Did you have a question or something to add in?
I don't
or
remember.
Were you just stretching?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things I'll say. So yeah. for wins, mm-hmm. from my perspective, we yeah. protected a lot of the things we did in 2023.
Okay.
So, you know, we didn't go back on protecting trans rights. We mm-hmm. didn't go back on earned sick and safe time and paid family medical leave. We didn't go back on free breakfast and lunches at our public schools.
Oh, good.
So yeah. a lot of those mm-hmm. like big wins we were able to keep
good.
In place.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Can I?
No. Go for
do
it.
You feel like, as a Democrat, do you feel like your party held the line? There's obviously the one issue that Democrats were upset about, which was stripping insurance coverage from undocumented folks
who would qualify for Minnesota Care.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard not this time of year. We really focus on our losses and the challenges.
Yeah. yeah.
So
yeah.
that's the big one.
Yeah.
I mean, the
yeah.
on Monday, I think before I got to the Capitol, I had cried four times.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all these impassioned floor speeches. And that's why it took us 4 hours is because over half of my colleagues spoke very passionately about because the first bill, you know, that Republicans would agree to hear before we did anything else was the standalone bill to strip eligibility from undocumented Minnesotans from being able to qualify for Minnesota Care.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to the press conference because it was my kid's first day of camp. I couldn't get up to the press conference with the Posse Caucus, the People of Color and Indigenous Caucus. So I couldn't be there, but I was watching it live as I was commuting up to the Capitol, and that was absolutely horrific. And we should ever sacrifice you know, policy and how it impacts people's lives for a budget. We know mm-hmm. this wasn't a budget item. mm-hmm. Which is what folks were claiming it to be. It's just cruelty. There are also threats coming from the federal government about the federal government not funding these public health care programs if undocumented folks are on it right now. Undocumented children will be able to stay on past the end of the year. But that's really the big loss. And we tried, I guess our leadership tried to say, hey, we could make some changes in the earned sick and safe time or paid family medical leave if we can keep these undocumented adults just being able to have access to Minnesota Care. And
sure.
it was a bright line. Nope, that was the number one thing that they wanted in order, you know, were willing to shut the government down unless Republicans got that. And so they did.
Wow. That was just a non-negotiable.
Yep. And that was absolutely, you know, that's going to be the blaring thing in my mind is that loss. But really, truly, that's kind of the only loss. And we tried to make it not be that.
Okay.
A group of folks already marginalized and having a really tough go at the moment. So
yeah.
It felt very, very bad.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's no good way to spin that.
Nope.
You know, it is what it is, and we have to just try and move forward as best we can. But I will say I am glad to hear that you've had some major successes, especially in the education realm, because that's super important. And hopefully in the next session, maybe things will change, you know.
Not until 2027. Yeah. So elections have consequences.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is people don't think about how it's like, okay, so for at least the next couple of years, this is now our new reality. And for the next couple of years, those folks that are impacted by this new legislation are now going to have to try and find alternatives to healthcare, which...
I mean,
are getting fewer and fewer these days.
Yes, and we're really lucky in Rice County and Steele County to have health finders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are places that serve. And like, you call 911, you get an ambulance, you will be brought to the Northfield Hospital and Clinics. They will treat you. If you can't pay for that care, that just comes out of the pocket of the hospital.
Right.
And insurance premiums for the rest of us, which will go up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was no, you know, all the hospitals, insurance agencies, the Catholics, sort of all the groups were against this.
Yeah.
Except for the, you know, Minnesota GOP.
So. Yeah.
But, this is the time of year. It's like easy to dwell and focus on the tough stuff. But, truly a compromise budget that came out this year where like everyone doesn't like it. But we kind of held our nose and passed it. So
yeah. And it was more than just a keep the lights on budget, too.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, more work to do for next year.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Absolutely.
All right. We need to get to another topic, but real quick before we get there. Your predecessor, Todd Lippert, said on this show more than once that... A budget is a value statement.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's a moral document.
It's a moral document, exactly. In 3 minutes or less, I mean, this grand existential question. How do you, keeping that in mind, how do you approach sort of the entire idea of creating a budget in a year when you know you don't have as much money to work with as you did in the previous budget?
Well, it feels bad.
Yeah.
For my first budget year, we had a $17 billion surplus, and that's largely because in the off year, there was a $10 billion surplus, and Republicans walked away from the table, and so that was just carried forward. They thought they would have a trifecta after the election, and it turns out the Democrats had a trifecta. So being able to have those funds to spend my first budget year feels very different than having a cut target where we need to cut our spending. Not as fun, not as nice.
Yeah. Never is.
But I have to say I have a ton of respect for our committee chairs, the co-chairs in the House. So there's a Republican co-chair and a Democratic co-chair because of the tie. And by the way, because we stayed out and didn't provide quorum for a month because Republicans were ready to kick out duly elected members and, you know, be chairs of all the committees. And so that's why we stayed out in January to have a true tie and co-chairs, co-vice chairs. So I think we're better for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's mostly things that both parties can live with.
Yeah.
But yeah, not as nice.
Yeah.
Not as fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have a bit of an announcement to make also. And we're literally going to ask you to take off your Representative Christy Purcell hat.
So happy to take that hat off.
Need a break from that
ready
hat.
Ready to not have that hat for a little while.
Ryan, do you mind if I
go take, for it. Okay. Take the floor.
Um, Christy Purcell is when she is not representative Christy Purcell, when she's not in session, is joining the KYMN morning show. Sherry, the KYMN in the morning. She is going to be the third member of a what will generally be a two-person show. I am thrilled about this for a number of reasons. First of all, whenever you've been on the radio, either as, you know, talking to us as an elected person or just doing the weekly list or whatever.
Or when I was at Clean River Partners and I would have to come in and talk to Jeff and I was terrified.
Which is hilarious.
Of the right? Seat. I've come a long way, baby.
You're great on the radio. You're really, I mean,
and
we like to, we like to have smart, intelligent, witty,
music loving,
well-spoken folks on our show.
Well, thank you.
And congratulations, I guess, but thank you for agreeing to become part of this. Now, part of the reason this is happening is because I need to take at least a partial step back. I've got a lot of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, you do.
And mm-hmm. honest to God, even though I watched him do it for 4 years, I don't know how Jeff Johnson did the morning show every day and still ran this radio station because I get 4 hours of sleep a night.
That's not enough.
Well, and you know, we're definitely putting, I should say we/you, like, we're putting a new spin on KYMN.
We're taking it
into its next generation, mm-hmm. its next chapter, and with change comes a lot of work.
Right. So. And indeed. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is you're going to be on Thursdays and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be on Thursdays and Fridays as well, just not as much. Mm-hmm. You get the early shift. And then I'll slide in Thursdays and Fridays and just sort of make myself...
Someone's got to do sports. I'm not that person.
Christy and I are not those people. Thursdays and Fridays, I'm going to fill in where I'm needed.
Right.
But it's mostly going to be you, the two of you, on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yes.
Now, there is, I'm going to be the first person to admit this. We're threading a needle here a little
mm-hmm.
bit because you are an elected official. And we've worked with Logan on this too. We are going to, for lack of a better term, Christy, we're going to put a brick wall between you and the news department.
Love it.
All right. You are not on KYMN when you're doing the morning show out of session. You are not here to be an elected official. You get to take a little time off from that and just be a regular person.
Yes.
Right. Now you're certainly welcome to your opinions and as you'll find out, you can get in trouble for voicing those opinions. But if you're like me, sometimes you just can't keep your mouth shut. But we've got some rules and some parameters, and you are not going to be part of any interviews with government officials.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be part of any interviews with public health or public safety officials,
mm-hmm.
although I would like to have you and Tom Nelson on sometimes just to be... Just because I think that would be some fun conversation between the mm-hmm. two of you, not about anything else. I just think you guys could have some witty repartee, is mm-hmm. what I'm saying. But there's plenty of other other people that we talk to, especially on Thursdays and Fridays,
mm-hmm.
and we are we need to make sure that there's that space for our for this radio station's sake. I would think probably for the sake of you as a representative.
Yep.
Also,
yep.
There's just going to be a separation of church and state.
Love mm-hmm. it.
You know,
I'm here for it.
If you know, and I'm sure there'll be some folks who have some concerns. And rich@kymnradio.net, please reach out to me. And if you want to voice those concerns, I share your concerns. Mm-hmm. I do.
Me too.
Yeah. Right. And
I think
we
all want to make very clear.
Right. With that said, there's a lot you can offer, though, outside of your position as an elected representative on this radio show.
I hope so.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan thinks so.
Really, oh, absolutely.
I'm really a music nerd.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get to talk about and play music.
Does this mean you're not going to do the occasional weekly list?
I hope I still get to do the weekly list. Especially you, with Laura and your lovely wife, yeah, Annie.
I am begging you guys to do another one here.
I know, it's just a matter of time. You guys are overdue find the time.
At this point.
Yeah.
Yes, but we are thrilled to have you join our scrappy little crew, and we just want to say welcome, and we look forward to having you on. You'll actually be starting next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you will. There will be other days that you'll probably be on.
Yeah.
When you know I go down or whatever.
Or if I'm out of town to see Beyonce in concert,
right? Then you won't be here.
Right. To do the show.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But this is going to be super fun, and I'm going to be blunt and honest about this. I have wanted a female voice on this show since we took over last fall, and thank you for providing that.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see what the listeners.
When I say voice, I mean I'm not just your voice, like perspective. We need a woman's perspective. Yeah. On the show. Yeah. Okay.
Can so there do. You go. Well, thank you so much. I'm really excited. One of my best friends over in Madison actually was like, I think of you as a radio person. Like, you're always like listening to the radio or thoughts about music, or, you know, are connecting the samples and the, and so this is like the least surprising to her. Like, I'm often the last one to know on these sorts of things, but she was just like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. So I hope, you know, big shoes to fill, but I'm excited to learn.
What do you mean? You're a pioneer in this. You got, there are no shoes to fill. You get to carve this out.
No, no, no. There's an illustrious history of the morning show on KYMN. Oh,
there is. There is indeed.
To keep that up. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'll be back next week with you all on the radio in a very different capacity than I typically am.
Yeah, we're looking forward to
it's
it.
Gonna be great.
Thank you.
It's going to be great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Christy.
Yeah.
All right, folks. So tune in next Thursday for the debut of just regular old Christy Purcell on KYMN in the morning. You guys were all wondering why we went away from the Rich and Ryan in the morning. Well, that's why. That's part of the reason why, at least.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that the show continues to evolve. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.